Erev Tov. Last week we dealt with the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and we looked at it really from four different points of view. We saw what Rav Ovadia Yosef had to say about the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, where Rav Moshe says that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kiyumit, but not a mitzvah chiyuvit. It's not an obligatory mitzvah, but one fulfills a mitzvah by living in Eretz Yisrael. So there was the position taken by Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. There was the position taken by Rabbi Avraham Shapiro. And there were two things that I said. One was based on another tshuva of Rabbi Moshe. I'm not going to repeat it. And then there was the final position that I took, that Rav Moshe's tshuva, its greatness and its brilliance for our generation is that it gave us the opportunity to choose. It gave us the opportunity to come to Eretz Yisrael of our own free will. There is not even an obligatory mitzvah that we can come. It's something to choose, something that we do because we want to do. And that's precisely what the Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted. Now, what I always find fascinating in this is always true. You have to learn Torah over and over again. I noticed the pasuk this past week. I noticed the pasuk that I never noticed before. The parsha was Parshat Shlach. How I never noticed it before, I don't know. But the fact is that I didn't, and I admit it. And what I learned from it is you have to go over Torah time and time again, and every time you go over it, you're going to find something new. In Parshat Shlach, Perek Yud Dalid, we begin with Pasuk Chaf Tet. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, "Bamidbar hazeh yiplu pigreichem, in this desert you will die, v'chol pikudeichem l'chol misparchem. This entire generation is going to die in the desert. Miben esrim shana v'mala, asher hali notem alai, from age 20 and up, those who complained against me. And I've taken an oath, matem tavol aretz, that you will not come to the land that I have promised l'shaken etchem ba, to have you dwell in it. Kiyim, the only ones that will come to Eretz Yisrael from this generation are going to be Kaleb ben Yefuneh to Yehoshua ben Nun. Listen to the next pasuk. V'tapchem asher avmartem levaziyeh, and your children whom you said are going to suffer, they're going to be killed, who knows what's going to happen to your children. V'heveti otam, I'm going to bring them. V'yad'u et ha'aretz, and they will know the land. Asher ma'astem bo, that you have rejected. Isn't the word v'yad'u a strange word to use? I can give you at least three or four alternatives. I will bring your children to the land, v'yarshu et ha'aretz, they will inherit the land. V'yeshvu ba'aretz, they will live in the land. V'yichbishu et ha'aretz, they will conquer the land. V'yinchalu et ha'aretz, they will inherit the land. The one word I would never have thought of using is the word v'yad'u et ha'aretz, and they will know the land. Why does the Rebbeinu choose the word v'yad'u? I believe in this one word. In this one word, we have the sin of the Meraglim. It's right there in one word. V'yad'u et ha'aretz. Because what does v'yad'u mean? As soon as I tell you this Rashi, you will remember that I have told you the Rashi on a number of occasions. Never occurred to me. In Parshat Vayera, it says, after the angels left the house of Avram and they are on their way to destroy Sodom, so the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, "Hamechasa ani mi'Avram, am I going to conceal from Avram that which I plan to do?" Va'Avram hayo yiyeh l'gai gadol v'atzum. Avram is going to be a great and mighty nation. V'nivrechu bo kol goyei aretz, all the peoples of the earth are going to be blessed through him. Listen to the next pasuk. God says, "Ki yida'ativ." I will, for the present, translate it as I know him. I know Leman Asher Yitzaved Vanaved Beitar Achrav that he's going to command his children and his house after him, Veshomru Derech Hashem, they are going to keep the way of God, Lasso Stoko Mishpat Leman Havi Hashem Al Avram Et Asher Diber Alav. So that God will be able to bring upon Avram all that he had promised he would bring. Ki Yedativ, the great Rashi, says Rashi, Lashon Chiba, the word Yedativ means love. Lishon Chiba Kemo, as it says in Sefer Rut, as it says in Sefer Rut that Naomi had Moda Liisha, a good friend, a beloved one of her husband whose name was Boaz. Boaz Moda Atenu. Then Rashi goes on to say, Vo'omnam Iker Lishon Kulam, the real, the meaning of Yedativ Yedi'ah to know, the meaning of the word is it really means to know. Because somebody who loves a person, brings him close to him, knows him and recognizes him. If you truly love somebody, you want to get to know them, you want to get to know all about them. So Rashi says, Yedativ, Lashon Chiva, love. Yes. And we had explained that's the pshat in Vaha'adam Yoda et Chava Isto, man knew his wife Chava, Elkana Yoda, his wife Chana. It's not just a euphemism. The word Yedi'ah bespeaks, in fact, the relationship that should exist between people who are close and who love one another, that they get to know one another. So what does Yedi'ah mean? To love. Now let's take a look at the pasuk again in Parashat Shlach. And therein you have the whole story of the Meraglim. Your children, Asher Amartem Lavaz Yehiyeh, Veheveti Otam, I'm going to bring them, V'yadu Et Haaretz, they will love the land, Asher Ma'astem Bo Tatu B'Mitzrayim. Now if you love something, you want to get close to it, you want to get to know it. And if you love somebody or something, you're ready to make sacrifices for it. You don't make the cold calculation of, well, will I have a Torah neighborhood? Will I have a chavrusa? Am I going to be able to give charity? How am I going to feel being away from family? Am I going to fit in socially? When you love, you want to be close. And for love, you're ready to make sacrifices. And we're going to talk about that later. There is no such thing as antiseptic aliyah. There is no such thing as aliyah without pain. Hazorim bedima berino yiktsoru. Those who are going to plant with tears are going to reap with great song. That was one of the troubling aspects of this response. This response. A painless, friendly, what do you call it? User-friendly aliyah. No problems. Everything was set up here. Everything was prepared. Perfect. No problems. The Yadu Et Haaretz. The chet of the Meraglim is that they didn't love Eretz Yisrael enough. And because they weren't ready to make the sacrifices that are necessary. Don't let anybody ever leave you with the impression that is left in this sheet that we have been talking about, because it does not reflect reality. It's not even reality. It leaves the impression as though it's indeed possible to plan the perfect aliyah. There's no such thing. It can't be. And as I said, we're going to see later on why it's simply impossible. It cannot be. It's not in the cards. I mean, it's simply said, of course. It was Rav Shimon ben Yochai who said, Shalosh matanos tovos nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, the Rebbe Shem gave three great gifts to Klal Yisrael, Torah, Eretz Yisrael, v'olam haba, v'chulam lo nitnu ela yedei Yisurim. They were only given through Yisurim, through suffering. You know what? I won't follow the original order that I had for this year. I want to read to you a letter that was written by Rabbi Yitzchok Kutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Shiv of Chaim Berlin, and Pachad Yitzchak.
Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner wrote the following: Eretz Yisrael eino niknes kiyem al yedei yisuchim. Eretz Yisrael is acquired only through suffering. V'im ani zachiti, and if I merited, v'hayiti be'eretz Yisrael shelo al yedei yisurim, I was now in Eretz Yisrael, but without suffering. Simon hu. This seems to have been after one of his visits to Eretz Yisrael. If I was in Eretz Yisrael and it was without suffering, Simon hu, this is an indication. And look how he waxes very powerfully poetic. It's an indication, Sherak hayo hayiti ba, yashov yashavti ba, ra'o ra'iti ota, avol kono lo kinitiha. It's an indication, I was in the land, I lived in the land, I saw the land, but I didn't acquire it. When I will merit that I will be able to return to Eretz Yisrael, this time that I'm going back to Eretz Yisrael, that's going to be accompanied with suffering. And I am certain I'm going to have a new taste of what Eretz Yisrael is all about. Tam, you know what tam it's going to be? Kinyan. I acquired it. It became mine. Eretz Yisrael, he repeats, Eino niknes ela al yedei yisurim. Eretz Yisrael is acquired only through yisurim. Be'esh choral gabi esh levana. Black fire on white fire. Yogdim heim milim elu. These words burn within me. Bedam hatamtzis shali. In my bloodstream. Bizman ha'acharon. As of late. Shall hevet hayisurim, the flames of suffering, ochelet b'chol peh, destroys, va'oseh shamot, and rots, reeks, destruction, b'leiv u'badam, in the heart and in the blood, u'milishonot ha'esh ha'malachachim, and from the tongues of fire that burn, bat kol yotzeit, out comes a voice, ha'menachemet, that consoles, va'omedet, and the voice says, Chavivim heim ben yakir, my beloved son, this suffering is beloved suffering. Yisurim halalu bruchim yihyu lecha. Bruchim, they are blessed. Yihyu lecha yodam eretz yisrael tehei niknet lach. They are blessed for you because through these yisurim you're going to have eretz yisrael. Eretz yisrael tehei niknet lecha. Ke'ish asher imo tenachamenu, the suffering is like a mother who consoles a man. Kein margishu libi apatsua, that's how my heart that is wounded feels, tachat litifotehem shel milim halalu, under the caresses of these words. Mitpotseitu alev, the heart explodes, but mitnachem bekol haole minipso. There is consolation that comes up from this shattering of the heart. Eretz Yisrael is only acquired through Yisuchim. Eretz Yisrael is not acquired in the fail-safe way, the perfect, perfect aliyah. Doesn't work that way. And if somebody feels that they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael this way, they can be guaranteed that kono lo kinitiha, they will never acquire Eretz Yisrael. This is a way that one is supposed to look at Eretz Yisrael, and I would imagine that in our day and age, one certainly should look at Aliyah through the eyes of Gedolei Yisrael, certainly of our century. The Chazon Ish, in a very brief three-line letter, so much in that little letter. The Chazon Ish, and I said it earlier this week at a shir, and somebody tells me that he had heard that it was a letter that the Chazon Ish had sent to his brother-in-law, the Stifler. The Stifler had asked whether he should come on Aliyah. So the Chazon Ish wrote to him, Matzav ha'aretz nifraz me'rachot ki adua. The situation in Eretz Yisrael, from the distance, it looks very bad. Ve'no garua me'hagalut b'chutzlarz. It's not worse than the Golas in Chutzlarz. When could the Chazon Ish have written this? Chazon Ish had to write it.
late 30s, during the 40s.
It was far from a picnic living in Eretz Yisrael then. For that matter, it wasn't too great living in Chutz Laretz then. But he says, as usual, from the distance it seems as though the matzav in Eretz Yisrael is terrible. He says it's no worse than what's going on in Chutz Laretz. Umitzah, now listen to his halachic sentence. Umitzvat Eretz Yisrael huchra'ah. The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael has already been decided by Rambam, the Haramban, the Shar Poskim. By the Rambam, the Ramban, and the other Poskim. So in this one sentence, what the Chazon Ish has already said is, of course, that he takes the position, number one, that there is an obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He's saying even more. He's saying that not only is it an obligatory mitzvah according to the Ramban, it is also an obligatory mitzvah according to the Ramban. And then he adds, V'yadua, and it's known, at kama sho'af ha'chofetz chayim zichreinu tzadik livrocha lalos, and it's known the extent to which the Chofetz Chaim yearned and longed to come on Aliyah. I saw only two weeks ago, somebody brings in the name of the Chofetz Chaim, that the Chofetz Chaim said, La'olam lo eslach, I'm never going to forgive those people who stopped me from coming on Aliyah. We're talking about Gedolei Yisrael. It was always the yearning and the longing. It was part of the spiritual baggage of the Jew to want to come to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't simply a good thing to do or a nice thing to do. After you've taken care of everything that is necessary, there's a pension and there's money for tzedakah and there's a chavrusa and a Torah neighborhood, you know, all of these. It was never the approach that was taken to Aliyah by any of the Gedolei Yisrael throughout all of history. We will even see that Gedolei Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael throughout the ages. Came to Eretz Yisrael even though there was real sakana, real danger on the road. It wasn't a matter simply of getting onto a plane in New York and coming to Eretz Yisrael. They underwent journeys of months, grave danger, and many didn't make it. If they would have read this Psak Halacha, they would never have set out for Eretz Yisrael. Never have set out for Eretz. So there we have the Chazon Ish, and there we have Rabbi Yitzhak Putna. This is an approach of Gedolei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. What about Rabbi Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chochma, the Or Sameach? How would he have felt about this response in Or Net? I'll tell you one thing. There are bullies, and there are bullies. And the biggest bully of them all is the Or Sameach. Oh, what he has to say. I want to give you four quotations from the Or Sameach. We'll begin with the shortest one, one that I've said on a number of occasions. The Parshat Geula and Tshuva, at the end of Torah, Parshat Mitzavim. So there the Pasuk says it. I think we once talked about this Pasuk. Famous Pasuk that we say in Davening often in Slichas, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. V'shav Hashem Elokecha et Shvutcha, God is going to return your captivity, v'dichamecha, and He will have mercy on you. V'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim, and He's going to turn and He's going to go back out there and gather you in mikol ha'amim. Asher efitzcha Hashem elokecha shama, from amongst all of the nations where God had dispersed you, im yihye nidachacha b'kitzei ha'shamayim, if you are going to be cast out at the very ends of the heavens, from there God is going to bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk is redundant. The pasuk starts off by saying v'shav Hashem elokecha et shvutcha, God is going to return your captivity. Finished. Why does the pasuk have to keep going and that v'richamecha v'shav? He'll go out there again, v'kibetzcha, and he'll gather you in from amongst all the nations where you are. Says the Meshech Chochma. Oh, Yoma, you know what the Pasuk is saying? There are two kinds of Jews. There is the Jew who, though he lives in Chutz Laretz, feels as though he is a captive on strange, foreign, and alien territory and cannot wait for the moment that he will ultimately be able to fulfill the dream of going back to Eretz Yisrael. And then there is the Jew who's not only made peace with the Golah, but he's
He's quite pleased. The living is easy. It's good. It's good. Says the Pasuk, the first ones that the Rebbe Yishim is going to bring back, Shav Hashem Elokecho et Shvutcha, God is going to bring back those who feel like captives. And then there's going to have to be a special Rachamim of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shav. He's going to go out there later on and start bringing back those Jews who seem to be quite happy in the Golah. O Yoma, listen to the words of the Mashiach Chacham. Ki Yisrael Asher Heima B'Shevi, Jews who are in captivity, Shemishtokim El Eretz Yisrael, they yearn, they long for Eretz Yisrael. V'rotzim Livroach Mei Chutz Laretz, and they want to run away from Chutz Laretz. Kimibor HaShevi, like one who wants to run away from the pit of jail and incarceration. Heima Yashiv Mikodem, they're the first ones that God is going to bring back. V'richamecha, He'll have mercy. V'shav V'kivetz on the Kol Amim. Who are the other ones He's bringing back? Heima HaYisraelim Asher Matzu Korat Ruach Beretz Nachria. Those are the Jews who found, you know, they're pleased in foreign land. Ubotal Mehem HaTshuka Le'eretz HaTzvi. They no longer have that yearning and that longing for Eretz Yisrael. Gam Hem Yekabseim Hashem. God is going to gather them into V'yeshiveim Achareze. He'll bring them back afterwards. So we're talking about something that is completely lacking and missing in this response. I don't see any place in this response anything that would arouse or stir a person to want to come to Eretz Yisrael. There is no talk whatsoever of, you must put Eretz Yisrael on the agenda. That's one of the sentences that I would have used in a response of this sort. Eretz Yisrael must be on your agenda. You have to make a decision, and this is what the Rabbi Yaakov Emden says in his Siddur. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, he says, everybody has to make a firm decision to go on Aliyah. Then you have to prepare yourself for Aliyah. You have to wait for the moment in which you can do it. But it has to be on the agenda. In this response here, it's nowhere on the agenda. That's Meshech Chochmah 1. Meshech Chochmah 2. Hineida Yakidi. I want you to know, my friend, Ki Laharot Godel HaMitzvah Hazotu Malata Hi Achlamota. To tell you and to show and demonstrate to you the greatness of the midst of living in Eretz Yisrael is absolutely unnecessary. Who is the Jew that even doubts it? The greatness of this mitzvah. From the very first day that God called Litzur Machzavtenu to the one from whom we come, to Avraham Avinu. He promised him Eretz Chemba, that desirable land. V'sholosh matanos niplu Yisrael, three gifts were given to Klal Yisrael. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Olam Abok, Kulam Gerot, all of them together. Puts them all on the same level. That's the Maimah Chazal of Rab Shimon Ben Yochai. V'chol prote ha-Torah mat'imim im haftachat ha-aretz v'yishuvah. All of the details of Torah, go through all of Torah from beginning to ending. You'll see the Torah is made to suit and fit Eretz Yisrael and living in the land. First of all, because many mitzvahs you cannot fulfill unless you're living in Eretz Yisrael. But then he goes on to tell us what Rashi and the Rabban say, that even those mitzvahs that are not specifically related to Eretz Yisrael, the place of Iker Kiyum HaMitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. The place where all mitzvahs should be fulfilled is here. Rashi and the Rabban say that you're supposed to fulfill mitzvahs in Chutzar, so you shouldn't forget them, you should be ready to do them when you come to Eretz Yisrael. Ba'af mitzvah shein chovat haguf, even mitzvahs that are an obligation on one's body, they not include your bodies, don't depend on the land. It says in Torah, ki yiviyacho, when God brings you. Lema, to say, asay mitzvah zu, do this mitzvah, kadesh adikadesh, lodetz, so that you should enter the land. And here the Meshech Chochmah says something that he wrote in a number of places. There were two sins that Jews committed in the 40 years that they were in the desert. One was the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, and the other was the sin of the Meraglim. Says Rav Meir Simcha, on the sin of the golden calf, God forgave the Jewish people, but the sin of the Meraglim, he didn't forgive them. Al Kvodo, on his own cover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meichel, but Al Kvodo Shel Eretz Yisrael, he wasn't Meichel. The Egel was an attack on God. The Meraglim was an attack on Eretz Yisrael. See the way God will be Yisrael takes a look at Parshas and Torah. Furthermore, he tells us that the all of Torah is full. All of Torah is full of Eretz Yisrael. In another letter, he's going to write that there is no parasha in Torah in which Eretz Yisrael doesn't appear. I'm sure that we can find Eretz Yisrael in every one of the parashas. But recently, a friend of mine who lives in Bnei Brak, I have friends in Bnei Brak, he wrote a sefer of Meisha Tzuriel. He's written many sefer, and we have most of them here in Shul. So he wrote a sefer on the parashot of Torah, and he in fact gives a list of 86 places where Eretz Yisrael appears in Torah. 86 separate and distinct psukim. I dare say, therefore, that Eretz Yisrael is mentioned more than any other mitzvah of all in all of Torah. And then he writes something. First, he brings a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that if Jews would not have sinned, they would have been given the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the five Chumashim, the Sefer Yoshua. That's all. We wouldn't have had the rest of Tanakh, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yoshua. Why Sefer Yoshua? Says the Gemara, because it is Erekos Shel Eretz Yisrael. The Yahushua, Sefer Yoshua, represents the value and the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it is on par with Torah. Then he says, brings the famous Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Masech the Brachas. Rabbi Yochanan wondered, are there old people in Chutz Laretz? Ikes Sabbath, the Bavel, in Bavel, there are old people? Couldn't imagine. Somebody told him there are old people in Bavel. So Rabbi says, can't. He wonders how it can be. Because it says in Torah, Leman Yirbu Yemeichem, Vimevenechem, Alho Adama. Length of days is guaranteed in Eretz Yisrael. Gemara goes on to say, but when they told him that they get up in the morning, go to shul to daven, and they come at night for Mincha Maariv, and then he said he understood why there are old people in Bavel. Somebody told me once, because according to the Gemara Masechta Megillah, in time to come, in the time of Mashiach, the shuls of Chutz Laretz are going to be transported to Bavel. So that means that a shul is extraterritorial. A Beit Knesset in Chutz Laretz has a little bit of a din of Eretz Yisrael. So if there are old people in Chutz Laretz, it is because they come to the to a shul. L'man yibu yimeichan, yimeivanechan. Then he says something that that brings back a fascinating memory to me. He says, you know, because I have to tell you all of this because it's possible that somebody is going to say, Pen yala bilavav echod lemar. Maybe somebody is going to say, Halo b'chutzlaretz hakayim mitzvah yiseiras. I want to stay in chutzlaretz because in chutzlaretz I'm going to have more mitzvahs. Yontif sheni shel galuyos. I'm going to have second day yontif. So therefore, you know, Chazal have to tell us, no, the place for kiyum mitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. Why does this bring a smile to my face? I was born and raised in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn. And I lived around the corner from a great Jew, and for about 6-7 years I davened by the Karlina Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan was Karlina Stalin Rebbe. Real tzaddik, ohev Eretz and soil, unbelievable. His grandson is the Karlina Rebbe here now, and I think they just recently moved either to Givat Ze'ev or Pisgat Ze'ev. The court of Karlin Stalin is there. The Rebbe was a big ohev Eretz Yisrael. He suffered a tremendous amount during the course of the war. He was in concentration camps, and then Toshet, he was physically a broken man when he came out. So I remember once at a tish, as he was wont to do, he spoke about Eretz Yisrael.
So one of the chassidim says, Rebbe, Rebbe, if you don't bleiben do, we want to be here because of Yom Tov Sheini.
Mamish, the words of the Arzamer. I want to be here because I have 2 days Yom Tov over here. The Kalina Rebbe was a very soft-spoken, mild-mannered individual, real tzaddik.
He got up at the tish, and in a paroxysm of anger, he screamed, "One day in Eretz Yisrael is worth 1,000 in Chutz La'aretz! One day in Eretz Yisrael is worth 1,000. 1,000 days of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz."
Days of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. The end of this letter, and this letter appears in a number of places. I'm reading it from a sefer called Me'ofar Kumi, page Mem Dalet. Lachen, last paragraph of this letter. La'orer Rabim, to awaken and arouse people in mitzvat yeshivat Eretz Yisrael, to the midst of living in Eretz Yisrael, etzli mishna she'ena tzricha. This is a halacha that's unnecessary. It's obvious. Ki hayahadut, because all of Judaism, he ma'ate tehila, it is a cloak of praise, l'ha'aretz. All of Yahadut is the cloak of praise, the beauty of the land. To have to arouse people to the mitzvah? Obviously. The Jew remembers 3 times a day, when he stands to daven. In what direction does he daven? He daven in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. Kol birchat hamazon, all of benching, yivorech v'yoda al ha'aretz atova, he blesses and thanks God for the good land.
Before I left the house, I pulled out my thesaurus. Because one of the things that's missing over here, and one of the words that's used by the Netziv, I hope we'll get to that, and the Meshech Chochmah L'Oreh, to awaken and arouse people.
Now, obviously what's required in our time is to arouse, to stir people, to move them, animate, kindle Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, excite them to Eretz Yisrael, stimulate them, awaken them.
Those are all the words that my thesaurus had.
This would not kindle any excitement whatsoever for Eretz Yisrael. It wouldn't animate, it wouldn't stimulate. On the contrary, if there's anything I can say about this, all the good reasons to stay in Chutz La'aretz are right here on this sheet of paper. Meshech Chochmah feels you have to awaken people. And even to awaken people is something that should be unnecessary. 3. The famous Meshech Chochmah, the most famous of them all, the one toward the end of Parshat Bechukotai. It's been written over and published in a number of places, and I have a sneaky suspicion that people remember one sentence, and when I get to that sentence, you'll know exactly which one it is, and it also fits into this series of shiurim. But they forget the other parts of this Meshech Chochmah. But Meir Simcha says that if one is going to take a careful look at Jewish history, one will see that there are clear cycles. There are cycles of Jews wandering from one country to the other, settling into that country, possibly forgetting Eretz Yisrael. So he says, you should know, one of the reasons that Yaakov Avinu commanded his children that they should bury him in Eretz Yisrael
Eretz Canaan. No other place, says the Meshech Chochma, Bazeh, because of this, Nikva b'nefesh bonav, there was established in the soul of his children, Kishur Tivi, a natural bond, Lihistokek el Eretz Avoseim, to yearn, to long for the land of their fathers. For Lachshov Atzmam Kigedim, they should consider themselves like strangers any place else in this world. And therefore what happens, Jews are going to come into a country and they're going to settle in. What they have to remember wherever they are, Sheyedu Yisrael, Yisrael should know, Ki hu achsanai, he's a guest, Viger be'eretz nochriya, and a stranger in a foreign land. And therefore, he begins to describe the flow, the highs and the lows, the ebb of Jewish history. And he says, you'll watch, you'll see, that Jews will be cast out of one country, they're going to come into another one, they're going to establish themselves, there's going to be great suffering and a lot of difficulty. First generation, of course, will be talking whatever language it is with an accent, but they will begin to build their shuls and their mikvos and their kosher butcher shops, and they're going to build a thriving and a bustling Jewish life, and may go on for another generation or two or more, and then there's going to come a storm that is going to uproot them out of that land. And you know what the sound, the voice of that storm is going to say? Yehudi ata, you're a Jew. Umisom chaleish, who has made you something special? Lech lecha el eretz asher lo yadata, go to a land that you don't know. When I read this line in the Meshech Chochma now, I also read it as lech lecha, go to a land asher lo yadata, that you don't love. And therefore the Jew is going to pick up his peklach and his zeklach, and he's going to go off to some other land. He's going to settle in over there. He's going to start building up all of his institutions. Then, says the Meshech Chochma, there's going to come a storm even greater than the previous one. Cast the Jew out. A reminder, you are not a native of this land. Only one land that you can be a native of, and not this one. And then when he describes the next time that Jews are going to settle into a land, they're going to become so much part and parcel of that land. And here comes the famous sentence, Yachshov, that the Jew is going to think, Ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim, that Berlin is Yerushalayim. He wrote it at the turn of the century, 100 years ago, Ki Berlin hu Yerushalayim. Doesn't that take us back two shiurim ago? The Kehilot in Europe that sent the letter to Ezra, you can live in the big Yerushalayim, and we're going to live in the little Yerushalayim. And then, of course, what's going to happen is, of course, the greater, more intense and more powerful storm that's going to cast them out. So that the whole purpose of Yaakov Avinu demanding of his children that they bury him in Eretz Yisrael is that the Jew throughout all of time, wherever he may be, should yearn and long for that place. I have to make a comment right now. When I sat today at a meeting with a number of Chavrei Knesset, Rabbanim at the home of Rabbi Avraham Shapira, I don't know, I had been doing all sorts of things. I said, shiurim this morning, I didn't listen to the radio, that there were two Frumen members of Knesset today who said, the Yishuv HaYehudi b'Chevron, the Jewish community in Chevron, move them out! Evacuate them! Shomu Shomayim alzos! Evacuate them! Remove them from their homes! And what should we say to them? Yehudi ata, you're a Jew! This is not your home! Two former members of Knesset! Unbelievable. And of course it's under the cloak, the guise of Pikuach Nefesh. Their lives are in danger, get them out. I read only recently Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, Rav Yerushalayim. He was 80 years old and he was going to a bris of a great grandchild, most probably. And it was in the old city, in the Eretz Atika. So people went through Shar Yafo, they went through the Shuk. He went through Shar Shechem at a time that it was dangerous to go through Shar Shechem. So he asked him, Rebbe, what are you doing? Going through Shar Shechem. So he says, if I'm not going to go through Shar Shechem, they're going to think it's theirs already. We have to show our presence. That's the way the Gadol B'Yisrael looked at it. Not the way our former members of Knesset. So we have an army already. Say, send the army in and do something. No, remove the Jews from heaven. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That was third source of the Meshech Chachma. Fourth source, and this is a letter that was part of a kol kore, an announcement to the Jewish world, and you'll see right away the historic background to it. It appears in a sefer called Shivat Zion on the very last page. It's the last letter that appears here. And he, in different words, he's going to express some of the things that he said in his other letter, but here he becomes a little bit more in detail. Hine me oz hikir ha'echad Avraham Avinu, that borrowed from the time that great one, Avraham, recognized his creator. Ha'yakosher kol tikvato, he bound all of his hopes. V'hanchilo et eretz ha'kadosh alabonav, the greatest hope that Avraham Avinu had was that he should be able to give over Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance to his children. And therefore, holach la'or kol erog, but he went through the length and the breadth of the land, v'nota eishel, and he planted an orchard. V'achrav Yitzchak, and after him came Yitzchak, zorabo, he planted the chofa be'erot mayim, and he dug wells of water, and Yaakov built a house. V'chol pizgat tikvatam hayta, the apotheosis of their hope, the peak hope of theirs was, Ki b'neiem yeshu be'eretz ha-moriah, that their children should live in the land of the Moriah. U'miyom matan torasenu akadosha, from the day the Torah was given, lo poska ha-nevuah miletzavot ha-yishuv ha-aretz, prophecy never stopped commanding Jews to live in Eretz Israel. Ve'ein l'cho parsha she'batoro she'lo nizkeret be'eretz Israel. There is no parsha in Torah which Eretz Israel is not mentioned. And then also he brings again the idea that the difference between the sin of the Egel and the sin of the Meraglim. And listen to a beautiful poetic sentence. U'miyom she'nivcheru Tzion v'Yerushalayim, from the day that Tzion and Yerushalayim were chosen, David b'tihilotav, Yeshayahu b'chezyonotav, Yirmiyahu b'tochotav, v'yechezkel b'mishalav. David in his Tehillim, his prayer, Yeshayahu in his vision, Yirmiyahu in his admonishment, Yechezkel in his parables, lo poskul milahaflik, they didn't stop speaking about the greatness of mitzvahs yishuv ha'aretz. Didn't stop talking about the greatness of mitzvahs yishuv ha'aretz. Best that emerges from this is that, well, it's a good thing, and if you do it, it's a good thing to do. Don't let anybody bully you. Oh, no. All that they looked forward to was l'hishtaperach nafsham b'cheredat ha'kodesh asher b'tokhei Yerushalayim. They wanted to pour out their souls in a holy trembling in the midst of Yerushalayim. V'omar ha'navi, the Navi said, Yirmiyahu said, ha'tzivu l'cho tzionim, make markers on the road so you should know how to get back to Eretz Yisrael. They went out to Golis. And then he goes on to say that now in this century, great people have begun to awaken and arouse the Jewish people to the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. And now you see when it was that he said it. Omnom Ka'et, now, Hei Seba HaHashgach, it was an act of the Hashgach, a divine providence, that at the gathering of the enlightened nations in San Remo, it was the San Remo conference of the League of Nations in 1921, Nitan Tzav, a command was given, Asher Eretz Yisrael Tiyela Am Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael should belong to Am Yisrael, the Kivan. So first of all, what's very fascinating. Yes. Toward the end of this paragraph, I'm going to go back to what he says. But toward the end of this paragraph, it says, "V'af ki ka'et," even though right now, "Tachat memshelet eretz ha'i am Britannia hametuna, oz betachu inyan ha'omei b'numo shel olam," that for the present, It's going to be under the Great Britain, i.e. Great Britain, and certainly, there's the mandate that they should prepare Eretz Yisrael as a homeland. I asked in a class this morning, I think it was Riva who got it immediately, what was so significant about July 1st? Hong Kong's return to China. What's the significance of Hong Kong being returned to China? In other words, if I'm going to ask you, what's the bond between Hong Kong and the Jewish problem? You know, the elephant and the Jewish problem? The Jewish problem in Hong Kong. Hong Kong was another part of the punishment for Great Britain that closed the doors of Eretz Yisrael when Klal Yisrael needed it more than any other. And from that moment on and further, that empire upon which the sun never set is having a great difficulty rising. Can't see the sun when it rises in London most of the time, that's for sure. There is no world empire anymore. And the beginning of the end of the British Empire was because of what they did to the Jews. And from a globe-straddling, girdling empire, they are now left with the Falkland Islands, Gibraltar, the Virgin Islands, and Bermuda, one of those, some other, that's the great British Empire. And Einish, I say that all of the great empires that crumbled only because of Klal Yisrael. Jews brought down communist Russia. So what were the great empires of this century? All fell because of the Jews. Hitler Germany, communist Russia, and imperialist Great Britain. Was it Cicero? I quoted him in the past. One of the great of Rome said, Rome, there was also the Holy Roman Empire. Well, you think Rome didn't fall because of Klal Yisrael? And what didn't Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu prophesy the fall, the absolute destruction of the great Babylonian Empire because of what they did to Klal Yisrael? Take every great empire you want, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, fell to Shtikla at the gates of Jerusalem. All of them fell because of the Klausel. So it was Cicero who said that when Judea rebels, the entire Roman Empire quakes. The Roman Empire was a world. Judea was the smallest province of the Roman Empire. But when Judea rebels, the entire Roman Empire quakes. There's an important sentence over here in this letter by Reb Meir Simcha, where he says that now that the nations of the world have in fact agreed that Eretz Yisrael should belong to Klal Yisrael, then Sar Pachad Hashvus, the Kivan Shesar Pachad Hashvus, since the fear of the oaths is gone, Uberishon Hamalachim, and it is with the permission of kings and nations of the world, Koma mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, Sheshkula kineged kol mitzvah of the Torah, that's equal to all mitzvahs in Torah, Limikoma, it returns to its original place. Now we hear a psak halacha. Is he saying that it is merely a mitzvah kiyumit, or is he saying that it's a mitzvah kiyuvit? Since the fear of the oaths is gone, therefore the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is back in place. What is the fear of the oaths? Fear of the oaths, the Gemara, the Sefer Tzuka says that God administered a number of oaths to the Jewish people. One of them was Shelo Yalu Bechoma, that Jews should not come up en masse to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And on that oath, based the shita of those who have been opposed to the establishment of the state, was based on the fact that we are not allowed, Shilugalu Bechomi, not allowed to come up and en masse against Eretz Yisrael. But here we have a psak from a Godel B'Yisrael, that once it is with the permission of the nations of the world, then it's not an act of rebellion against them. So pachad ha-shuos, the fear of the shuos, of the oaths is gone, and therefore the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, which school of kineged kol ha-mitzvos, returns to its original place. Real, real mitzvah. I think that's enough for the Meshech Chochmah. Those are the four places that. I mean, there are many others. There are many others, but these are the four that I chose. Last week after the shiur, I reminded myself of something that I don't know why I had forgotten it. After, and I mentioned it to a few people, I just remembered it as I was walking out of shul. My father, Olo Shalom, passed away. It must have been about 14, 15 years ago. He's buried on Haraz Asim. Like a Jew of the old country, didn't leave much. Had very few objects. We collect things. We move around with so much stuff. He had himself a suitcase with a few things. After he died, I went through some of his five, six envelopes. I opened up one envelope and I read something that was, it just overwhelmed me. It was something he had never told us. It was a letter from the Jewish Agency for Palestine, dated, I believe, October 7th, 1946, to Mr. Gold. We have received your application and your wife and the application of your three sons for Aliyah to Palestine. Then 1946. I think the neighborhood over here was a little bit war torn, to say the very least. And they write that unfortunately at the present time there are no certificates available for travel or immigration to Palestine. But we hope and we look forward to the day when all Jews will be able to come to Palestine. I think that was the normal baggage of a geek. A geek was mishtokek, as the mayor said, during the long marriage as well. You think my father made all the calculations that are here in this response? If Jews would have made all of these calculations, nobody would have ever set foot in this country. Yeah. It's going to be difficult, so it's going to be difficult. But Eretz Yisrael is worth it. Eretz Yisrael is worth it. All right, so let's see. We've spoken of Rav Hutner. We spoke of the Chazon Ish. We mentioned the Chafetz Chaim. We spoke of the Or Sameach. We talked about the Yehuda Gold. Zichreinu Levracha. Maybe I'll just complete this evening with Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky's Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And in part, I think we may have begun, but maybe I'll discuss the whole conversation. When I wanted to come on Aliyah, I had sent a letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now there is a. We're not certain. I claim that I had sent a letter to the Rebbe asking for a bracha. Somebody else in my family thought that I had sent a letter asking the Rebbe for an eitzah or for permission. The Rebbe's response came swiftly. I would say that most probably at the busiest time of his year, a day or two after Simchas Torah, there were tens of thousands of tzedim by the Rebbe. So I remember calling up the Rebbe and his secretary, Rav Chodakov, knew that this was an important letter that I had sent to the Rebbe. It was important to me personally. I mean, everybody's letter to the Rebbe was important. So he said, it will nemen dem briefun Rebbin kontraband. In other words, I'm going to steal the Rebbe's response out of his office. Kontraband. And he read to me the Rebbe's response. And I wrote it down. I had him repeat sentence after sentence, and I wrote it all down. The Rebbe's response basically was that anybody who is in Jewish education or the rabbinate and is succeeding has absolutely no right to leave his community or his position, and anybody who does is a deserter from the front lines, from the front line of the struggle for Jewish survival, and therefore has to carry the responsibility for putting hundreds of Jewish families in grave spiritual danger. And he goes on to say that, because in my letter I said, you know, maybe someday, you know, there have to be some rabbis that will set an example and go on Aliyah. He says you'll be able to do more for Aliyah staying in Chutz Eretz than by going to Eretz Yisrael. We, of course, had our minds set on it. It was extremely difficult to accept the Rebbe's response, but I certainly wasn't going to go and cross the Rebbe, go against the words of the Rebbe without real backing. So I decided that I was going to call Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. He was then in Toronto, I was in West Hempstead, I called him, I made an appointment, I got on the plane, I went to see Rabbi Yaakov. I had most probably one of the most fascinating hour and a half conversations ever had with anybody. So first of all, he said, and this I told you at one time, he said, first of all, in terms of living in Eretz Yisrael, Yichalt, as is our mitzvah haint, this is Alamol Gevan, Zivainin in Eretz Yisrael, and Voltuch the Kent, but the Pigetz began in an airport, Areifach a Flugzeug in the foreign in Eretz Yisrael, Abirach Kemesh. Translation, I hold that it is a mitzvah today to live in Eretz Yisrael, like it always was. He did not differentiate between obligatory mitzvah or a mitzvah in its fulfillment. He said it's a mitzvah now like it always was to live in Eretz Yisrael, and if he could, he would go right now to the airport, get on a plane, and go to Eretz Yisrael, but he cannot. Maybe we'll talk later about why he could. But then he turned to me and he said, listen, the Rebbe is a Gadol B'Yisrael, and what he says makes sense. So I told him, yes, you're right. It makes sense, but I have difficulty, personal difficulty in accepting that it's been a dream, lifetime dream, and now I have the possibility of fulfilling this dream. I can't do it. So I had suggested that, listen, I'll write the Rebbe another letter and really explain how I feel. Maybe he'll change his mind. So Rabbi Yaakov said to me, Avshalom, if you write another letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he turns you down again and tells you not to go, don't ever dream of setting foot in Eretz Yisrael ever again in your life. You don't have the right to be mitvakeach. Mitarnish zayin mitvakeach with a Gadol B'Yisrael. You don't get into a controversy with a Gadol B'Yisrael. That shook me up. So I said, all right, I'm not taking that chance. Will you give me permission? Will you give me permission to go, even though the Rebbe said that I shouldn't go? He finally he agreed. Yeah, okay. He said you can go. I had forgotten. Now I remember there are certain parts of the conversation that I remember. Sometimes I forget others because I had discussed with him. The Gemara in the Sechta Ksubis. The Gemara in the Sechta Ksubis says that Rabbi Yehuda was opposed to people going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kol ha'olim mi-Bavel Eretz Yisrael, whoever goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, over ba'aseh transgresses a positive commandment." Going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, because Yirmiyahu said, "Bavel o yuvo, they should come to Bavel, v'shama yiyu, and there they shall be." Reb Zera, who was a student, disagreed, and the Gemara says, "Bavel o yuvo, v'shama yiyu, they should come to Bavel and be there." That was talking about the clay base hamigdash, the vessels of the base hamigdash, but not about people. But the Gemara says, be that as it may, the Gemara says that Rab Zera have come stamik minei the Rabbi Yehuda. Rab Zera stayed out of Rabbi Yehuda's way because Rab Zera wanted to go on Aliyah. So he stayed out of his Rebbe's way because he was afraid that his Rebbe would prohibit him from going on Aliyah. So I told him, take a look. Rab Zera went on Aliyah despite the fact that Rabbi Yehuda told him not to go. So Rabbi Yaakov told me, see, Rabbi Zera was smarter than you. He didn't ask his Rebbe. He didn't ask the question. But you asked the question. The important thing is that Rabbi Yaakov Number one, express the idea that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today like there always was. And he also expressed clearly his great desire to live in Eretz Yisrael. And there was good reason. Ultimately, I found out that there was good reason why he was not able to go. But certainly, this is the way Gedola Yisrael in our generation looked at it. In Yetz Hashem, I think we will complete everything. Next week, we have to see the Kuzri. We have to see a number of other Gedola Yisrael of the generations. And that will with that we will complete this series. And I thank you very much for being patient enough to listen. I know that I'm preaching to the already converted, but number one, the already converted need a little shot in the arm from time to time. And of course, you're assisting me in making available a set of tapes that I believe will help those who are not yet committed or converted. And we're going to have to make certain that people hear what we have to say here. Erev Tov.